And now I will do something that even the miraculous menorah cannot do. It is a story about a menorah that was even more miraculous than this one that I just invented.
More miraculous, Zadie? Oh, this I must hear.
It is also about my friend Gershon. We grew up together in Frankfurt, Germany. But he discovered the secret of the menorah.
Please begin, Zadie. We can hardly wait.
Well, when I was a little boy, I had a good friend called Gershon, who would often travel by train with his parents from the city of Frankfurt, Germany, where he lived, to visit his uncle Selig and his family in the city of Eisenstadt, especially around Hanukkah time.
Zadie, there were trains in the 1600s?
Ah, it was in the 1900s, Tully. Well, the first thing that Gershon did when he arrived in Eisenstadt was to ask his Uncle Selig.
Uncle Selig, could we go see the old Eisenstadt Schule? It's the most unusual building I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah, little Gershon. We will go there for Mayrev und the Rohr will light the big menorah. It is a very moving ceremony.
But Zadie, I thought you're not supposed to move the menorah after you light it.
No, Tully. It doesn't mean the menorah was moved. It's the people. Their feelings are moved.
The people's feelings were moved? But where did they move to?
I will explain later, Tully. First, listen to the story. The old school in Eisenstadt was one of the most ancient and grandest and most beautiful schools in all of Germany. Uncle Selig told all about the history of the old school on the way to Mayrev that night.
You see, little Gershon, this school is over 700 years old. The windows have been replaced many times, and the roof has been fixed recently, but the walls and the floors are the original ones. And they even say that one of the Sifrei Torah is also as old as the shul.
700 years old? I'll bet it's the oldest shul on the block.
Ho, ho! On the block! It is one of the oldest shuls in all of Germany. Ho, ho, ho!
After they finished Mayrev, the Rav of the city lit the large menorah in the corner of the room.
Ma'aster Yeshua Asir, L'chad Mo'er Yisabeya, Pekam Pesh Tafir Asir, Pekam Pesh Tafir Asir, Pesh Tafir Asir,
After they finished singing the Ma'aus Tzur, everyone began leaving and returning to their homes and family. All except for Gershon, that is.
Uncle Selig, could I come home a little later? I'd like to look over the shul.
All right, Gershon, but don't come home too late. We would like to begin the menorah lighting ceremony soon.
Thank you, Uncle Selig. I'll be home before you know it.
Gershon walked around the dimly lit room, looking at the beautiful paintings on the wall, thinking he was all alone. Suddenly he noticed a strange sight up front by the Aron Kodesh.
There's someone near the Aron Kodesh. It's that man, Rav Baimel, the Shamus, and he's standing near the open door of the Aron Kodesh and tinkering with something inside. Why, he's lighting a candle in a small silver menorah standing inside the Aron Kodesh. I wonder why.
Yeah, who's there? What, when, what, whoa, who is it?
It's just me.
Oi, it's you. Say, you're the nephew from Reb Zelig, aren't you? The boy from Frankfurt.
Yes, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but I was so curious to see what you were doing.
Well, you can't very well see from over there. Come closer here so you can really see what I'm doing.
Thank you. But what are you doing? Why were you lighting that little menorah in the Aron Kodesh?
Ach, it's a long story. Pes dying from one Shamus to the next. No one in Eisenstadt knows about it except me. But there's no harm in telling you, if you're interested.
Oh, I most certainly am.
Then sit down here and I will tell you the ganze Meise. Many, many years ago, when this shul was first built, a terrible calamity was taking place all across Europe.
And what was that?
It was called the Crusades.
The what?
The Crusades. There was large bands of soldiers who had gathered from every country in Europe. They were marching to Eretz Israel to conquer it from the Arabs. The Jews was terrified of them, and for good reasons.
Men, there's a city full of Jews in that valley. Let's go after them like we did to the last three cities we passed. We'll destroy the Jews and burn it to the ground. After all, the Crusaders cannot neglect their religious work.
But Stefan, are we forgetting about the Jews' riches? Their gold, their silver, their ornaments, and their money?
Of course not. First we'll force them to give us everything they own. Then we'll burn the Jews and their city to ashes. Do you think I'm a fool?
No, of course not.
Then let us proceed with our holy task. The Jews are waiting for us.
Village after village, town after town, one city after city, where the Jews lived, was completely destroyed, and very few of them escaped alive.
But what about the Jewish people in the city of Eisenstadt? What happened to them?
Why, that's just the point I was getting to. At first, the Jews of Eisenstadt thought that they was going to escape. The mob was 50 miles away and headed in a different direction. Then suddenly, before the Minche prayers, a man came running wildly into the shul. His clothing was torn and burned, and his face was scratched and bruised.
People of Eisenstadt, I've come to tell you that something terrible is happening.
He's fainted! Quickly, bring some water!
Here's some water. Take a drink.
It's not for me. Put it on him! Quickly!
People of Eisenstadt! Something terrible has happened! Something terrible has happened! I think I'm gonna faint again!
Oh, you can't faint! Tell us the rest of it!
Okay! The Crusaders have decided to change course! Instead of going on! They've turned south, and they're headed this way to Eisenstadt.
They're a bunch of killers. They won't spare anyone.
Oh, where can we run?
Where can we hide?
What can we eat?
Eat? What does eat have to do with that?
Well, what if we get hungry? We'll need to eat something, won't we?
No, you don't.
I'm afraid you're right. I escaped because they mistook me for a German peasant. But as I was hiding in the rubble of a burned-out house, I heard them talking to each other.
Hey, man, they say the city of Eisenstadt is only 2 days' travel from here. Let's pay it a visit before we continue.
Good idea. I heard that Joseph Eisenstadt have much more money than they know what to do with.
Yeah, let's relieve them of it. I think we need it more than they do. After we're finished with them, they won't need it anyway. Come on, let's go quickly. What will we do? We don't stand a chance.
Oh, we're like mice in a trap.
We're like fish in a net.
We're like boots on a foot.
Boots on a foot? What does a foot have to do with this?
Well, we're always getting stepped on.
Aye, right.
But Rav Boimel, what could the Jews of Eisenstadt do? Was there any hope for them?
It didn't seem like much. They decided to go to the Rav of the city, Reb Osher, and tell him about their plight.
Come in. Rabbeinu, please forgive us for intruding, but we have a matter of extreme urgency before us. A situation endangering all the inhabitants of Eisenstadt has occurred.
Explain what you mean.
The mob of crusaders who've been attacking the Jewish dwelling places around Eisenstadt have changed course. They are now headed this way and will be here soon. We all know what that means. What can we do?
They're like wild animals.
They're like vicious beasts.
They're like crazy monkeys.
Crazy monkeys? Why up as crazy monkeys?
Well, they're always jumping around all over the place.
Oh, my God.
What will we do with our children and families?
Let us not be thrown into a panic. Let us all assemble in the shul for afternoon and evening prayers. And do not put terror in the hearts of others. As Hashem wishes, so shall be our fate.
Void quickly spread to all the inhabitants of Eisenstadt. Swiftly men, women and children came to the shul until it was filled from corner to corner.
Papa, why are we all going to shul now? Even little Leia, is something special going to happen?
Papa, why we go to shul today? Is today Shabbos?
I can't explain it right now, Yosef and Leo. We must all pray that Hashem should give us mercy, everyone in Eisenstadt.